The biblical standards of a grand new nation are desperately needed today in America. I'm glad you're here to talk about America with us today. I'm glad you're here to remember those who've gone before and preserved our freedom, or at least the freedom that we have still yet today. I want to talk to you and give you very quickly just seven principles. You can write them down if you'd like. They'll be on the screen. Seven principles that made America great. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about our great country. But we have a great country. Don't let anybody tell you we don't. We have a great country. Amen. This whole church ought to be ringing. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. This country is a great, great country. 1789. The first president of these United States was George Washington. He spoke with prudence when he said in his first inaugural address, and here's exactly what he said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." What a thing for a president to say. In 1796, in leaving what was then and indeed will be for all time, I think, the highest office in our land, George Washington spoke urgent words of farewell. And he said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable support." He said, "In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars." Wow. I say again, what a wonderful statement by a president of the United States of America. America has not been, nor ever will be, a great nation because she harbors a wealth of natural resources. She'll never be, never has been, a great nation because of her strategic position among the lands of our earth. She's not a great nation, never will be, because the populace, the people, are intellectual elitists. That's not it either. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this statement if you remember nothing else I say. America's greatness will forever expressly parallel her adherence to certain basic Bible principles that were paramount in her beginning and that will always continue to be the absolute necessity for her continuing existence in God. There are some wonderful, powerful principles that this great nation started out with, and we better never leave those principles. And as soon as we do, Brother George, as soon as we do, we will no longer be the nation of freedom or a great God-fearing nation. You see, America has been elevated because of these principles. I'm going to give you those seven. These principles are paramount, I think. America is a nation under God, built upon the seven principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. It is these seven principles that guided the thinking of our founding fathers as they penned the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. All the compacts, all the agreements, all the statutes on which our federal government and all 50 state governments are predicated are based upon these seven principles. And I'm telling you, these seven principles were at the inception of this great nation. Enumerated both in the Old and New Testaments are these biblical principles. Let me start with the very first one. It won't take me long. Number one, write it down. The principle of the dignity of human life. The principle of the dignity of human life. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. As soon as you find that particular scripture, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 5. There in Exodus, the Bible clearly points out, does it not? Thou shalt not kill. That's talking, ladies and gentlemen, about murder. Committing murder. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. You heard that right there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. That's what he's talking about. You've heard that said, he said. And it's true. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old times, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Ladies and gentlemen, the very first principle that built this nation, the principle of the dignity of human life, in a land that has led the world in its positions regarding the dignity and the value of human life, we are today allowing the murder of millions of innocent little babies. We are still allowing that to happen. And we still want to pass laws that it will continue to happen. Our Supreme Court got involved and had ruled that the innocent and defenseless unborn babies had no right to live. I do not understand that. When we had the dignity of human life as one of the great principles of our nation, how anybody can believe we can have abortion. And yet millions every single year. We are blatantly and shamelessly violating a moral principle upon which this nation was built. And we are going to suffer. And we are suffering the consequences of this violation. Number two, the principle of the traditional monogamous marriage. Monogamous family. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2. I just want you to preach with me a little bit. Verses 21 through 24. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from him, from man, made a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Man and wife. Husband and wife. In Ephesians chapter 5. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's nothing in here at all that I've read so far that a man is to be a lover of a man. There is nothing whatsoever in this Bible where it says a woman ought to be a lover of a woman. It says the husband ought to love his wife. It says a man ought to love his wife. The woman ought to love her husband. I just heard it again this morning, that every single state in the union is supposed to one day approve homosexual marriages. I heard it again today. They're fighting in every state, in every particular part of this great United States of America, trying to get it passed that if you want to have gay marriages, it's okay to have gay marriages. And if you talk about this or preach about this, you are a hate monger. And I am not a hateful man. I am reading what the Bible, our God, says about this kind of sin. And ladies and gentlemen, this great nation was built and established upon the monogamous family. One man and one woman for life. Got to get off of that. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Verse 29. Even as the Lord, the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man, now listen to what it says. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. The principle of the traditional monogamous family and marriage. A family begins. When does a family begin, preacher? A family begins when a man legally marries a woman. Diverse family forms such as common law marriage or homosexual marriage, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Word of God, are not acceptable. They are an abomination to God, who divinely ordained order in the family relationship. And that order is between one man and one woman for life. The principle of common decency. Common decency. Genesis chapter 3, please. Verse 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7. I'm trying to preach this morning what the Bible says to you. Genesis chapter 3 verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Look at verse number 21, same chapter 3. Unto Adam also and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. And notice why he made those. To clothe them. Go with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Look, if you will, verse 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her, already in his heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, talks about the same issue. Common decency in a race that has fallen because of sin begins with the covering of the human body. What we're trying to do today, and I don't understand why, we are constantly trying to uncover the body. And I don't understand that. Even in Christianity, we're trying to show what we shouldn't be showing. I'm not a clothesline preacher this morning. I'm telling you what the old standard of old-fashioned biblical men and women were of old time and how this country got its start. The principle of common decency. Lewd magazines portraying filthy sex acts are sold on newsstands at eye level of 5 and 4 and 3 year old children. Television programs and movies are filled with vulgarity and profanity and obscenity. It amazes me that we can even watch television. It is so polluted. I need a lot more amens than that. Are you scared? I'm not scared. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great country. But somebody needs to call this thing back to order. God said the principle of common decency. There needs to be taught in our homes some common decency. Don't wait till they get to the Christian school. Don't wait till they come to church. Teach this stuff in your homes. Number 4, the principle of the work ethic. Look out. We are already almost a socialist nation. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. How did it say he was going to work? In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Exodus chapter 20. With me to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 9. 6 days shalt thou labor. How many days did it say? 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. Ephesians chapter 5. New Testament. You see, these principles are always in the Old and the New. Did everybody see that? I'm giving you proof, Old and New. Ephesians chapter 5, please. 3-5. But fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That went with a common decency. Just a little more power there, isn't it? Come on, amen? What about 2 Thessalonians? Chapter 3. Look at verse number 10, please. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not, what's it say? Neither should he. Oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, I didn't know that. I thought preachers were silly for saying that stuff. That's right there in the Bible, isn't it? You know who wrote this Bible? God. Holy men of God, as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God. And here's what it says. God said, a man should work. And if he doesn't work, here comes a hate crime again, he shouldn't eat. Well, preacher, everybody's got to eat. Everybody's got to work too. According to Scripture, you see, we had some principles. Can anybody help me out? What's the first principle? Somebody shout it to me, please. The principle of the dignity of human life. Number two, the principle of traditional monogamous marriage or family. Number three, the principle of common decency. I just read it again. That filthiness is not going to be in heaven. Number four, the principle of the work ethic. The Bible makes it clear that a man is to live by working with his hands. The result of the curse of sin upon man was that by the sweat of his brow he would earn his bread. The welfare system has stripped millions of Americans. There is a dignity. There is a dignity, ladies and gentlemen, in hard work. Everybody listen to me. There is a dignity in hard work. There's something about it when you get done with a day's job and you worked hard and you sweated and you worked hard and you're dead tired and you say, "Whoa, I am so tired." But you feel so good because you did something worthwhile. Better than laying around and eating ho-hos and chips all day, watching all those afternoon shows, getting ready to go to bed and say, "Oh, I don't feel very good. How do you feel?" I think the ho-ho ate. I hate it. Just messed me up. "What are you going to do tomorrow?" "Well, I don't know. Maybe watch TV again." Where in the world is the dignity? You know, we don't have any dignity because we don't even fix ourselves up sometimes. We look like pure bones. We go out, we don't clean up, I can't hardly stand to go downtown sometimes. People don't even wash their hair. I don't care if you spike it up, but please wash it. I don't care if you curl it orange, but wash it. And please, put some deodorant on. Maybe I go overboard, but that's like, give the rest of you an idea. Somebody else ought to be doing this. Put some aftershave on. I mean, ladies, not you. That's for the men. Ladies, sprinkle some perfume or something. There is dignity in hard work. A dignity that the welfare system has literally stripped from us. The free enterprise system encourages ambition, incentive, competition, and hard work. I personally love the incentive program. Number five, the principle of the Abrahamic covenant. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, for time's sake, I'm not going to read Genesis 12, 1 through 3, or Romans 11, 1 and 2. But let me talk to you about this covenant just real quickly. Several thousand years ago, God told Abraham that out of his seed would come a great nation, more numerous than the stars of heaven, and more numerous than the sands on the seashore. God promised Abraham that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's a messianic promise. Jesus Christ provided the fulfillment for that blessing. Although all people are equally loved by God, ladies and gentlemen, the Jews are God's chosen people. Palestine belongs to Israel. God deals with nations in relation to how those nations deal with Israel. America, put you on guard. You better be careful how you treat Israel. You better be real cautious how you treat God's people. Number six, the principle of God-centered education. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In fact, let me read. The Deuteronomy scripture is the educational pronouncement scripture. In Ephesians, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The principle of God-centered education. In recent years, the name of Almighty God has literally been removed from our public schools. Voluntary prayer has been banned. Creationism is no longer really taught as a viable truth. Evolution is taught as truth. I love to, do like to look at the Discovery Channel and those kind of things, but sometimes, Brother CJ, it almost sickens me. Because we found a fossil that's 200,000 years old, or 200 million years old, but we're trying to develop, and they found the new one, you know, the new one they just found. And now we're gonna say that this is the heritage of you people and how you came from monkeys and how you came from different animals and little amoeba. And we're going to show you how it's all going to... They've missed it somehow. None of that is so. Nothing evolved. Creation happened. And God created. In the beginning, God created. We still stand on that truth. This nation was founded on that truth. We see moral permissiveness in our schools and academic deterioration and drug epidemic getting worse and worse. Now, don't you think for one minute that it's getting better. It may be laying low, but it's not any better. It's still as bad as ever. In many cases, sex education classes in the public schools are nothing more than academic pornography. Secular humanism, rather than God-centered education, has resulted in a decadence and deterioration in the mental thought process of our children. There are more children today on pornographic sites than there has ever, ever been. There are more children taken into pornography than there's ever, ever been. Preacher, what's happening? Because we're losing our morals. We're sailing away from the pier, from the dock that held us to the natural truth of the precious Word of God. And when you take God's Word out, and when you say God is not important, and God did not create, and God did not raise, and God is not in charge, all of a sudden man's in charge, and man can't stand being in charge. We don't have the ability. Seven principles that made America great. Let's go with them one more time. I'm about ready to give you the last one. Number one, the principle of the dignity of human life. Number two, the principle of the traditional monogamous family or marriage. The principle, number three, of common decency. The principle of the work ethic. Number five, the principle of the Abrahamic covenant. Be careful how you treat Israel. Number six, the principle of God-centered education. And I'm going to tell you, everybody, that doesn't mean it's a Christian school. God-centered education means your fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. It starts in the home. I personally think it's sad that we have to have Christian schools, because our home should be doing the job. But to be real honest, we get kids in the Christian school whose homes are a disaster. And those kids, everybody thinks, why are those Christian school kids like that? Because their homes are all messed up. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, please help us get our homes back together. Listen, Mom, if you don't come back to church tonight, you're speaking to your kids. Dad, if you don't come back to church tonight, if you don't come on Wednesday night, you're speaking to your kids. You're speaking what's really important and what's not important. You know, years ago, they went to church all the time. And my grandson was sitting in my office this morning when he was talking, and he said, you know, Grandpa, we have all kinds of modern gadgets, don't we? He said, those modern gadgets are supposed to save us time, aren't they? I said, yes. He said, you know what? People say to me all the time, we don't have any time. We have all these modern gadgets and still don't have any time. Can you believe it? They used to take clothes and on the scrub board. Am I right? They just took the same clothes, instead of putting them in the dryer, they hung them on a line. It took time to hang them on a line. Now we have a washer and dryer that does it all. Push a couple buttons. I haven't got any time at all. You see what I'm saying? And then we say to God, God, I haven't got any time. Number seven, the principle of divinely ordained establishments. This is the last principle. I'll give you the verse of Scripture, Genesis 2, 21 and 24. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. That's the home. There are some divinely ordained establishments. The home is number one. Number two is the state or civil government. And number three is the religious institutions. State governments, found in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32, and Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. The religious institutions, Exodus 25, 8 and 9, talking about the tabernacle, talking about the temple in Matthew chapter 16, 17 and 19. God divinely ordained the institution, ladies and gentlemen, of the home, the state, civil government, and the church. The home, listen to me very closely, the home is the basic unit of civilized society. A society is only as strong as the homes within that society. Since God established human civil governments to rebel against government, except when the government rebels against God, it's to actually rebel against God. We are to respect authority and pray for our leaders. I say that one more time for everybody's sake in this room, because some of you do not like our president that we just elected. But ladies and gentlemen, you have an obligation to God to pray for your president. You have an obligation. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, if you like him or you don't like him, it doesn't matter. You have to pray for your country, pray for your government, and pray for your president. And love him into the things of the Lord. God established the church. And though it has always been under direct attack by Satan, it will always remain strong and triumphant because it's God's church. And God's church must always sound out the message clear and strong without any hesitation. And any time a church stops preaching strong and clear, it has ceased to be a church. What's the message, preacher? Christ was crucified. He was buried. He rose the third day. He was triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He is seated right now at the right hand of God the Father, and He will redeem all who come to Him in simple faith believing. He will redeem you. We need to return to God. We need to return to the Bible. As never before, we need to return to Almighty God. Undoubtedly, we are at the edge of eternity. Some of us are already referring to this era as the post-Christian era in America. We have stretched the rubber band pretty far, haven't we, in our morality, and the rubber band's about to break. A few more stretches, it could snap. If you're not careful, we become like all those other nations that fell. It's time to call America back to her moral roots. It's time to call America back to God. We need a revival of righteous living based on proper confession of sin and repentance of heart. If we are able to remain free, I'm telling you, we're going to have to get back to God. Or it won't be long. We'll not be the home of the free and the home of the brave. I am convinced that God is calling millions of Americans in this so-called silent majority to join us to turn America around in our lifetime. Really unite our hearts and lives together for this cause. America. America. The righteous America. But ladies and gentlemen, it starts with you. I love America myself. I think it's a wonderful country. I love all that we have, all that we can be a part of. Rod, think about that. In America, you go up and get 7 pounds of mushrooms and cost a dime, except your time. Get with Dad and let's go mushroom hunting. Let's go turkey hunting. Let's go deer hunting. I can carry a gun. I can go out and shoot. I can still hunt. I can still fish. Isn't the country great? And isn't it a beautiful country? God handcrafted it. But where are you today? All these principles literally start with you. Are you a godly person? Do you love the Lord? Are you ready to make a decision to live for Christ? Say, preacher, you know, I've not really lived for the Lord just like I should. This morning, as my musicians are coming, I'd like to have you decide, you know, today would be a really good day for me to come forward and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, you might say to me, well, preacher, I'm already saved. I'm born again. I know Christ. Great. Are you living for Him? Well, I haven't done real well lately. Well, why don't you walk from your seat, kneel an old-fashioned altar, and say, God, would you just help me to live right? God will help you do that. Let's stand together, shall we? America, how we love America. The land of the free, the home of the brave. Only as we do this can we exempt ourselves from one day saying, I wonder if your kids will ever say to you, hey, Mom and Dad, I heard about the freedoms that you used to have in America. Are your grandkids going to say to you someday, what's happened to all those freedoms? When did freedom die in America? Think about it. But we're only going to stay free if we as God's people can live right and follow those seven principles I gave you this morning. Those are powerful principles that were established when this country first started. It needs to stay true. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.